Well, at least in some ways it feels that way. Have you felt this week that it's been some sort of limbo season? There are days this week when I'm thinking, I have no idea what day of the week it is. Well, if you're confused, today is Sunday, we are in church, and tomorrow will be Monday, and all is well. So some of you have put your Christmas decorations down. I know you have. I know that some of you have had them up since November, so it feels like a long time. And Christmas is away in a box. Kind of. As I said earlier, Christmas, the season of Christmas in the church is not over quite yet. We have Epiphany to go. And Christmas wasn't over for these people in our story either. Simeon and Anna were waiting for their real Christmas gift. They were waiting with expectation and hope for the promised Messiah. What a wonderful picture of these two faithful saints responding to the goodness and the faithfulness of God. I love this story. So let me paint you a picture of the scripture we have heard. The temple is crowded as usual. Mary and Joseph, as dutiful parents, bring their child to the temple as the law requires them to do. Every firstborn male in Israel is dedicated to the Lord at 40 days old. It says so in Exodus. Well, that was not a very good colour font, was it? I will read it out to you. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites, belongs to me, whether human or animal." Every firstborn male. And so these faithful parents of their generation and all the generations before them go and offer their firstborn male at the temple. And it's usual to sacrifice a lamb, but they couldn't afford that. But don't worry, in Leviticus, there's contingency plans for the poor. It says, if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. So here they are, Mary and Joseph, with their two doves as their sacrifice, holding their baby boy, who will one day be the sacrifice for the world, and they're immediately interrupted. A man, Simeon, takes the baby from their arms. He's no ordinary man. He is full of the Holy Spirit, we're told. We're actually told that the Holy Spirit prompts Simeon to move from where he is in Jerusalem to go to the temple. I love that. He could have been in Aldi doing his shopping. God whispers in his ear, "Simeon, this is the day you have been waiting for. The time has come. It is now. He's here." You can hear angels. And Simeon's like, "Yes!" And he hot foots it to the temple to meet the object of his prayers over his lifetime. Wow. "This is the day," says God to Simeon. "Go and meet the Messiah." We get the impression he's an old man. Here's an artist impression. Can you just flick on for me? Because this doesn't seem to be working anymore. There we go. We get the impression he's an elderly man. And given that he's paired with Anna in the story, who we are told is 84, which is old, but given that the average life expectancy for a woman was 35 to 40, 84 is quite old. We presume Simeon was even older, and the Eastern Orthodox Church has a tradition that says he is over 200 years old at this point. Wow. Wow. He's old. Old and holy, godly, but ready. I love that. Full of the Holy Spirit, waiting on God to make the next move. And when God says, Simeon, the Messiah's in your neighborhood, Simeon legs it as fast as his 200-year-old legs could carry him to meet this one who has been the focus of his prayer life and his spiritual longing for so long. We're told he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Should we see this? Yes, it does work. The consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel. In Isaiah 40, it says this, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord double for all her sins." Simeon is holding in his arms the forgiveness of sins for Israel and for the world. After all that faithful waiting, for who knows how long, and he's been uniquely gifted to see who this baby is, uniquely gifted to know, and to know that he would not die until he saw this child. Now, if he is 200 years old, that's a long time waiting, isn't it? That's a long time just hanging around, waiting to see what God would do next. And so he's holding in his arms this baby that is the answer for the world. And he can finally, with joy, sing, "Lord, let your servant depart. I've seen what you have promised. I can now die in peace." When the angels announced the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds, they were told to look out for a baby. Now, a baby in a manger is probably unique, but a baby in a crowded temple where many babies are bought on their 40th day for dedication is not unique. But Simeon has spiritual eyes to see the child that he needs to see. He sees past the plain every day to see the one that matters. And he takes the baby in his arms and he blesses him and says to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now, there's nothing in Jesus that would point you to that conclusion, this baby in your arms. To look at a baby, we go, "Oh, isn't he lovely? Oh, doesn't he look like his dad? Oh, isn't he cute?" But God had given Simeon the ability to see with eyes of faith, that wrapped up in this humble packaging is God. There, consecrated back to God. Full circle from the Passover. All male children were saved by the blood of the Lamb, so they are dedicated to the Lord. Now God in flesh, Jesus, is dedicated as the Lamb of God, who sheds his blood to redeem people from slavery to sin. And you don't see that by looking, you see that with eyes of faith. It's a fantastic story. We rarely hear of it in the carol service. And into this comes Anna. She too recognizes Jesus as Messiah, but she has a different reaction. Can you flick on for me, please? She comes at that moment and she begins to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. So she's 84 years old. We're not told that she wants to die like Simeon does. We're told she wants to evangelize.
Yes.
Like the disciples who follow her, she is driven with wanting to bear witness to what she has seen. Anna is the first one who gets what will come, who understands the magnitude of what this baby will grow up to do. She began to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Unlike Simeon, she isn't visiting the temple for the day. She's there all the time. She's a prophetess. We're told she never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer every day and every night. She is waiting for the Messiah with expectancy. Yes, that's one of our words, isn't it? For 2024, expectancy. Waiting at 84 with expectancy that God is going to act. And she was ready and waiting. Often we think about waiting as a passive thing. It's what you do in between times. It's what you do in limbo times. It's twiddling your thumbs. But she's not doing that. She's not twiddling her thumbs and doing her Sudoku, but she is waiting actively, expectant for God. She is praying, she is fasting, and she's ready for God to act. I love her. In fact, these two elderly saints are real examples to us about what life can look like. Waiting with hope, waiting with expectancy, fully believing that God will turn up. Does that look like you in your waiting times? It doesn't look like me. I am most impatient. Can you just flick on, please? Thank you. I remember Rebecca. This is not Rebecca on the screen. This is a picture of a child looking through a window with snow in a sand hat. I remember Rebecca waiting 1 year, breathless on tiptoes on Christmas Eve, looking out of her bedroom window, waiting to see if she could see the sleigh of Santa come across the sky. And I remember the wonder and expectancy that she had. Those of you who have got children or grandchildren may remember those moments. But that's nothing compared to the wonder and the expectancy that we see before us in the story of Simeon and Anna. And something about the spiritual stickability of these two, of waiting year after year, but not losing hope, of hanging on in there like spiritual Velcro and not letting go of the promises of God. They spend their time standing on tiptoe, looking into the future with hope. They're at the window, the spiritual window, waiting. They don't give up. I wonder if that speaks to us about the things that we've given up on. I know that many of us are praying for people in our lives that don't know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And sometimes that's hard when we have prayed and prayed and prayed and God does not seem to listen, or these people seem to be moving further and further away. This is an example of let's not stop praying, that God answers when the time is right. And never, never gives up on his faithfulness. When the time was right, this baby arrives at the temple, and Simeon can hardly contain himself. Anna, can we have the next picture? And bursts into song with joy. Now, he doesn't live long enough, we presume, to see what happens next. He doesn't live long enough, nor Anna, we presume, to hear Jesus preach and teach, to see the events of the passion and the crucifixion unfold. But it doesn't matter. They've done their job. They've done what God asked them to do. It's okay that they don't see the end of the story. They've done their bit. They can breathe out now. Their waiting is over. For them, there was no doubt that God would fulfill his promises. It was just when. And so maybe that's something to hang on to in our 2024. There is no doubt that God will fulfill his promises. He is God. He is faithful and he is good. Our calling is to believe that and to also wait with faithful expectation. Can I have my next picture, please, Gordon? We're at the end of a year, looking into a new one. And on the screen, there's a picture of a wall with a little girl peering over it with the words, "What will 2024 bring?" As we've already said today, we don't know what this year ahead will bring. And in some respects, we are looking over the wall, standing on tiptoes into a new year with expectancy, perhaps. Perhaps with waiting and with hoping. Perhaps with fear and with dread. What do you see as you gaze across the field of the future? Our gospel today reminds us that Jesus, Emmanuel, God wrapped in human flesh, is present. Present with us, and that our hopes will be fulfilled. We don't know how God will answer our prayers or choose to fulfill his promises, but we know that God keeps his promises. We know that he always manages to come up with new and different ways of showing his love for us. And so as we stand on tiptoe gazing across the field of the future of this brand new year. Let us be reminded afresh that God is with us. No matter what, God will not leave us. God is with us. Let us see today and the future with the same faith-filled eyes of Anna and Simeon. When we look with faith, our eyes have seen God's salvation, which he has prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to God's people. And he is called Jesus. He is here. He is with us. Emmanuel is for life and not just for Christmas. And so let's end our last service in the year, how we will start and how we will continue in 2024, worshipping Jesus, looking to him to be our guide and our goal, our Alpha and our Omega. Let us end our year as we will begin our next, planting our footsteps in his and saying, Lord, would you lead us? Let us worship God together.